सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्परां श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करं लोकशङ्करं शङ्करं शङ्कराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः श्रीचिन्मययतीशस्य गुरुं वन्दे तपोवनं तमहिमवद्विभूतिं वै ज्ञानवैराग्यरूपिणं समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं कर्पूरगौरं करुणावतारं संसारसारं भुजगेन्द्रहारं सदा वसन्तम् हृदयारविन्दे भवं भवानीसहितं नमामि भवं भवानीसहितं नमामि हरि ओम् इन् दिस् वेदसारशिवस्तोत्रं वी स्टार्टेड् वित् द सगुण साकार form of Lord Shiva with forms and qualities. And then last week we talked about the Nirgun or the formless aspect of Bhagavan Shiva, who is the self of all, the essence that because of which everything is what it is. Also, he is the Bija Madhyam. He is the ancient seed which does not perish. A normal seed perishes when the plant comes, but this does not perish. It is unchanging. It is the source of the world. The world is created, sustained, and merges back into this and has no elements, no bhumir chapo, na vannir, na vayu. There is no air, space, fire, water, earth. In fact, space and time are in this consciousness. There is not a time when God was not there and then God appeared at a particular time. So Bhagavan Shiva is beyond time. Even though it is formless, has no murti, but as we saw last week, it is the source of the three murti, Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh. Today we will continue with shloka number 7 and 8. Ajam Shashvatam Karanam Karananam शिवं केवलं भासकं भासकानां तुरीयं तमः पारमाद्यन्तहीनं प्रपद्ये परं पावनं द्वैतहीनं प्रपद्ये परं पावनं द्वैतहीनं सो अजम् सो फस्ट् वि Take the last line, Prapadye, I bow down. As we see, Shankaracharya ji uses different phrases to bhaje, ire, and so on. Here he says, Prapadye, I approach. Prapadya has various meanings. At the level of Sagun, it is I approach Lord Shiva, I come close to that Lord. And you can do that by constant remembering and by serving the Lord by doing Karma Yoga. Then Prapadya also means I prostrate. For the Bhakta, it is complete prostration, Sashtan Namaskar. That is Prapadya. And for the Jnani, for the Vedanti, Vedantin, Vedantic scholar, it cannot be physical approach because Lord is formless. So in meditation, I surrender to that and I become one with that, where I realize that that alone is, there is no other. So that is Prapadya. Now people ask, what is the cause of this creation? The intellect loves cause hunting. And then different darshanas, different schools of philosophy use different methods to talk about creation. So the Nyaya, they talk about logic. Then others talk about the five elements. Some talk about the 24 substances which created the world. Then Sankhya talk about Purusha and Prakriti. You know, all these different, and then the Charvaks say there is no God, the world just came out of itself. And so all these different schools of philosophy are there. And how to coordinate those or understand those, it's a very long subject. But just to give a brief example, say there is a patient, we'll call him PT. PT, now he is not well. So he goes to an allopathic doctor, and the allopathic doctor examines him and says, look, we need to get these lab work, x-rays, MRI, do all this and come back, and then we can find out what is the cause, and then I'll give you the medicine. In the meantime, his friend sees him. He says, you're going to take medicine from allopathic? Those medicines have a lot of side effects, so don't do that. Go to my friend who is a homeopathic doctor. So he goes to the homeopathic doctor, and the doctor says that there is some imbalance in your system. So take these tiny, tiny pills and you will be better. He's about to take them and his third friend comes. He says, what? You're taking all these foreign medicines, allopathic and homeopathic, which is German. No, go to an Ayurvedic doctor. That is our own system, which is ancient, and they will cure you. So he drops the other two, goes to Ayurveda. Ayurveda doctor says, well, you know, there are three factors, kapha, pitta, and vata. And in your case, you are kapha with predominant. So I'll give you vata type of medicine. So he's about to take it, then the naturopath comes. He says, no, 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 you don't need any medicines. You come to me, we'll put some mud packs on you, and through natural therapy, we will cure you. All your diseases will be gone. And then next comes an astrologer, and he says, let me check your chart. Oh, in your chart, Rahu is there for the next 3 months. That's why you are ill. Just wait 3 months and Rahu will be gone. He says, yeah, Rahu will be gone, but then Shani will come or Yamaraj will come. I can't wait that long. Then another philosopher comes who is Karma Pradhan. He says, all your problems are due to your wrong karmas. You have done bad karmas in the past because of which you are sick. You know, what should I do? Just bear them without complaint and then try to do good karmas. So he gets them all together and then says, look, you are all giving me different causes, but my disease is not cured. I am still unwell. So what should I do? So they say that All of these are different theories. And then comes the spiritual guru who says this world is not real. There is no world. Consciousness alone is. There is no earth. There is no world. You don't exist. Your body doesn't exist. You don't have any illness. So he's running from place to place. But the masters tell us that at the transactional world, which is a relative world, you have to take medicine for the disease. Whatever problem you have, take medicine. And at the highest level, you understand that this world is an illusion. And we'll talk about how do we prove that. So it says that what is the cause of this world? Ajam Shashvatam Karanam Karananam. Ajam means unborn, means beyond time. And then Shashvatam. Shashvatam means Sat, the Sat aspect, and it is always was, always ill, is, and always will be. And then it is said, Shivam Kevalam. It is that Shiva alone, Kevalam. There is nothing else except that consciousness. Shiva is broken down into Sha, E plus Va. Sha means Shantam, the supreme consciousness. E means Ishvara, and Va means Shakti. So in Shiva, there is the supreme consciousness, there is Ishvara, and there is the Shakti, the Mother Parvati. All three are included in the word Shiva. So at the Vyavaharic level, you have to deal with the world and whatever is required you do, like take medicine and all. But your mind should be always in the Lord. Even while I'm dealing with the world, always we should remember Bhagwan. And you come to the conclusion that Bhagwan is Karya Karana Vilakshana. It is beyond cause and effect. So actually, there is no effect. There is no creation. You say, I see this world. So how can you say there was no creation? So it says that if you are seeing the world, and if you say Brahman is the cause of this world, then it's not possible because whatever is created has the qualities of the cause. Like from mud, if I make a mud pot, the mud pot will have all the qualities of mud. From gold, I make a bangle or bracelet, the jewelry will have all the qualities of gold. So the cause has to be in the effect. Otherwise, we cannot call it a cause. But in the case of Brahman or Lord, there is not there in the effect at all. In fact, none of the qualities of Brahman are in this world, in us. Brahman is all pervading everywhere. The world is limited. Brahman is beyond time. There's no past, present, future. But I am temporary. I go through changes in the past, present, future. Brahman is avyayam, and I am constantly going through youth, old age, death. Brahman is all joy, infinite ananda, and I have sorrow and joy and sorrow. So masters who have woken up to that supreme reality, they realize that this world alone is an illusion. They do not give too much importance to that, but they focus on the Sat, the supreme essence. And that alone is real, and this world is an illusion upon that, just as sand alone is real and mirage is an appearance. A mirage has none of the qualities of sand. Same way, you and I have, in the body level, no qualities of Brahman. And that's why we say, Asato ma satgamaya, from untruth, may I wake up to truth. Like that, from darkness, may I go to light. From mortality, may I go to immortality. Asato ma satgamaya, tamaso ma jyotirgamaya, mrityor ma amritam gamaya. So actually, there is no cause. Then he says, Bhasakam Bhasakanam. It is the illuminer of all luminaries. So, what are the luminaries? Like the sun, we see as the powerful light, but then as scientists tell us that there are other stars who are million times bigger and brighter than our sun, but they are far away. So the sun, then in the night, we have the moon that illumines the night. There are stars, there's lightning, there's fire, electricity. So all these luminaries which illumine get their consciousness, their ability to illumine from that Bhagavan. That's why Bhagavan Sri Krishna says, Yada Ditya Gatam Tejah Jagat Bhasayate Khilam Yat Chandramasi Yat Chagnau Tat Tejo Vidhi Mamakam. Whatever light you see in the sun, the moon, the fire, know that to be my Teja. That is appearing or manifesting in these. And when we do the aarti, we say Tasya Bhasa Sarvam Idam Vibhati. So it is that Chaitanya, that Chit, that consciousness that appears in all luminaries. So Bhasakam Bhasakanam. Then it is said it is Turiyam. Turiyam is said to be the state of enlightenment, the fourth stage. That's why Mandukya Upanishad says Chaturtham Manyante. It is considered to be the fourth. So what do we mean by considered? So when that Turiyam, that supreme state, when it functions through me as a waker, then I, as I'm awake with my body, then I take up the entity of waker, identity of waker. When I'm dreaming, that same consciousness manifests through me, and then I take up the identity of dreamer. In deep sleep, also that consciousness is there, but I do not know about it. It is called Tamobhi Bhuta Sukharupameti. I enjoy the joy of deep sleep, but it is in ignorance. And I have to understand that this Turiyam is my own true nature. Then it is the Tamah Param. It is beyond Tamas. So beyond Tamas means, Tamas has two meanings, darkness and ignorance. Darkness is illumined when there is light, the darkness goes away. But also this consciousness is aware of darkness. Like I'm in a dark room and somebody tells me, are you in that room? I don't say, wait, I have to turn on the light to see if I am here. I know I am here, whether it's a bright room or a dark room. The awareness that is called Tama Param. It is beyond Tamas. Tamas also means ignorance. So this consciousness knows my knowledge and also knows my ignorance. So like I know English and I do not know Russian. Now who illumines my knowledge of ignorance? It is the consciousness. And what illumines my ignorance that I do not know Russian, that is also consciousness. So my knowledge and my ignorance are both illumined by that one consciousness. Then that's why he's said to be beyond darkness. And then he says, Adyantahinam, Adi Anta, there is no beginning and there is no end. Everything we see in this world has a beginning and an end. A tree has a beginning and one day will end. The world also came into creation, and then one day pralay will happen and the whole universe will merge into that consciousness. So, but Bhagwan or the Supreme Brahman is beyond time. So there is no time when it was not there. It's not that Adi, that at one time it started and at one time it will go away. That doesn't happen. So Adi Anta, there is no beginning, there is no end. Then it is said it is param pavanam. Param means it is unexcelled, it is beyond everything, beyond this whole universe, beyond even mind, intellect. Even mind, intellect cannot think about it. So that param, infinite consciousness, which even in Purush Suktam it is said that one part became the world and three parts are beyond it. So it is param. Pavanam means it is the purifier. So what it means is like water purifies dirt. Water is manifestation of that. Or air, when there is the foul smell, air purifies. So all that is Bhagwan himself manifesting through these purifiers. Also in our spiritual life, when certain activities we do, it purifies our mind, japa, tapa, vrata, danam, yajna. So all these activities which are done purify the mind. So this Bhagwan who is beyond, behind all these, so he is the param pavanam. He is the one that inspires me to do these yajnas and all and gives me the ability. Then he says, Dvaitahinam. It is beyond Dvaita, beyond the pairs of opposites. So, what are the opposites we deal with? One is Jiva and Jagat. I am a conscious being, but the world is inert. Mountains, rocks, rivers, they are all inert, but I am aware of this inert world. So, but I am different from this Jagat. So, Jiva and Jagat, that is one pair. Then I say, who created me? So, we say Ishvara. So, Jiva and Ishvara. Ishvara is all powerful, all, infinite, and I am limited. So, that is Jiva and Ishvara. Then there is duality between Jiva and Jiva. Like, I like this person, I don't like this person, this one is my friend. This one is my enemy. And then I have Raga Dvesha. I like this person. I don't like this person. I like this food. I don't like this food. So one is Jiva Jagat, Jiva Ishvara, Jiva Jiva. Then another pair arises, Raga Dvesha. That is Dvaitam. Then within this, I run towards things I like, which is Pravritti, and run away from things I dislike, Nivritti. So Pravritti and Nivritti are another pair. Then Sukha Dukha. When I get what I want, I have Sukha. When I don't get what I want, I have Dukha. Or I get what I don't want, then that is also Dukha. So another pair, Sukha Dukha. Then I and my, me and my possessions. So all these are the pairs of opposites that we constantly deal with, and how to experience that, how to go beyond it, beyond these pairs of opposites. So Bhagwan has given us a simple method, deep sleep. When I am in deep sleep at night, there is no duality. There is no raga dvesha, there is no pravritti, nivritti, sukha, dukkha. It is just pure joy. Why? Because my mind is in contact with that consciousness in deep sleep. But it is ignorance. At that time, I am not aware. That's why the Kaivalya Upanishad says, Tamobhibhuta Sukharupameti. It experiences the joy, but the joy is of tamas, of ignorance. And Sraman Maharishiji explains it very well in Sat Darshanam, that dhiya sahodeti dhiyastameti. This world arises when the ego wakes up, and when the ego goes to sleep, individual goes to sleep, the world disappears. And that is true. In deep sleep, I don't experience the world. The moment I wake up, I see, oh, where am I? Who am I? And then if I'm sleeping in some my friend's house or in a hotel, I have to figure out who I am, where I am. So that creates this pairs of opposites, creates the differences. And that is how the sorrow occurs. Upanishad says, Dvitiya vai bhayam bhavati. Only in duality there is fear. I'm not afraid of myself, but if there is somebody else, then I have fear or liking or dislike. So how do we go beyond that? He says, meditate and then sakshat karomi. Once you meditate sincerely and go deep into meditation, then you yourself experience this absence of duality. But that is when you are awake, not in deep sleep, when you are alert. And that is called aparoksha jnanam. Gurudev calls it subjective experience, my own experience of that reality. Not like, for example, this book or this shloka is a description by Shankaracharya ji, and its commentary is written by Puja Guru ji, Swami Tejomayananda. So it is their knowledge, but when this knowledge becomes my knowledge, that is the state of Turiyam, that is the highest state. And once that happens, then what can I do? Just namaste, namaste. I just bow down again and again. And that's what Shankaracharya ji will tell us in the next shloka, number 8. Namaste, namaste, Vibho Vishwamurte. Namaste, namaste, Chidanandamurte. Namaste, namaste, Tapoyogagamya. Namaste, namaste, Shruti Jnanagamya. Namaste, namaste, Shruti Jnanagamya. So Namahate, I bow down to you again and again, again and again. That is the only thing we can do. What else can we do for Bhagwan? We just bow down. And same thing, Arjuna, when he saw the Virat Roop in the 11th chapter, he was so overwhelmed because he could see this form of the Lord, which is beyond the where even the three worlds are in that form, that not only this universe, but the heavens, the hells, all are in that form, past, present, future. And his mind was boggled. He was so overwhelmed that all he could do was Namaste, Namah Purastadata Prishtataste, Namostute Sarvata Eva Sarva. Oh Lord, who are everything, everywhere, all I can do is bow down to you in the front, in the back, in all sides. That's only thing I can do. So complete surrender to that Bhagwan and prostration is the only only thing that we can do. And this then he says, Namo Vibho Vishwamurte. Vibha means all pervading. Everywhere, there is no place where God is not. Vibho also means vividam bhavate, bhavati iti, iti vibho, that which appears in various forms. So all different forms of the Lord that we see the so this world is the of eightfold form of the Lord. Ashtamurti Brit, Raman Maharishi ji says, eight means space, air, fire, water, earth, sun, moon, and the jiva. So everything is made of this eight. So serving the world is serving God, who with the world is of the Ashtamurti Brit, Deva Pujanam. And we see that in the Virat Roop of the Gita, in Purush Suktam, Sahasra Shirsha Purushaha, Sahasraksha Sahasrapat. In Rudram also, again and again, there is Namo Namo. So Namo Virupe Bhyo Vishwarupe Bhyascha Namaha. So I prostrate to the Lord who is Virupa, who is formless, all-pervading, and Vishwarupa, and whatever I'm seeing in this world is also the eightfold form of the Lord. So that is how Nama is done. And in this world, Jeev, Jagat, and Ishvara are all creation of that consciousness, manifestation. And the entire Brahmanda, not only this universe, but countless universes are there. And all that are created by Bhagwan himself or his manifestation. And then here we see there are seven worlds above us: Bhur, Bhuvah, Swaha, Mahajana, Tapa, Satyam. Those are the seven worlds above. And below is Talatal, Vitala, Patala, etc. So all these upper and lower worlds are manifestation of that supreme consciousness. And I am connected with that total consciousness. And without that, I will not be alive. I won't be able to function. And my connection makes this universe complete. If I was not there, something in this universe would be missing, like my little finger survives only because it is connected to the body. That's why the little finger prostrates to the body, that only when there's life in the body, the little finger has life. But say if the little finger accidentally gets cut off and cannot be reattached, then that finger lying separately will not have any life. So same way you and I, we have to be connected with the totality, see our oneness, and be a servant of Bhagwan. So in the first line, Vibho Vishwamurte, it is the Sagun form of the Lord, that whatever I see in this world is the Lord. And in the second line, Chidananda Murte, it is the Nirgun Nirakar Chit Anand, the formless consciousness, and both are that Lord. So in the first line is the Sagun Roop, second line is the Nirgun Roop, but it is all that total Chaitanya. And it says, how do we know that? So they say you need two things. How do we know this God? And we'll talk about the knowledge aspect, but you need purity of mind and clarity of knowledge. Purity of mind and clarity of knowledge. And Guru Veda Vakya Pramanam. So Guru and the Veda Vakyas, the words of the Vedas are Pramanam, are the proof, or the way to know, the path of knowledge. And that is the only way. So purity of mind and clarity of knowledge. How do we purify the mind? So we had seen earlier, on Sunday in the Gita class, mind has three kinds of impurities: mala, vikshepa, avarana. So by how do we remove the dirt of the mind? Mala, by doing karma yoga, by purifying the mind, and by developing positive qualities. Vikshepa or agitation can be removed by japa, by chanting the name of the Lord, by doing puja. So when we are sitting in front of the Lord doing puja or chanting, our mind becomes quiet. That is vikshepa. And avarana, ignorance, can only be removed by knowledge. So we'll talk about that. So in this one, in this line, third line, it says, Namaste, Namaste, Tapo Yoga Gamya. So what is yoga? Yoga is not just standing on one leg for months or years, but it is Manashascha Indriyanam Ekagra, making the mind and the senses single-pointed. That is yoga. So that is how you connect. Yoga, yoga means huge. So how do you connect the mind to Bhagwan? By making the mind single-pointed, controlling the senses, and purity of mind and clarity of knowledge. So in the last line, it says, Namaste, Namaste, Shruti Jnana Gamya. Only by knowledge you can reach the highest. That's why Bhagwan Shankaracharya ji in Bhaj Govindam says, Jnana Vihina Sarvamatena Bhajatina Muktim Janmashatena. Sarvamatena, all the wise people believe that Jnana Vihina, without knowledge, Bhajati na muktim. You will never get mukti, even janma shatena, even 100 births you take without knowledge, you will not. And that's why Bhagavan Sri Krishna in the Gita says, nahi jnanena sadrisham pavitram iha vidyate. There is no greater purifier than knowledge. And jnanagni sarva karmani bhasmasat kurute arjuna. Arjuna, the fire of knowledge burns all karmas. Once we have reached that state of enlightenment, then for a wise person, there is no agami karma, there is no sanchit karma, no past or future karmas. And in this life, the prarabdha karma, the wise person is able to undergo because he knows that he is not the body, and whatever is happening to the body is not happening to him. And we see that masters also, like Ramakrishna Paramhans, had throat cancer, and other masters have gone through a lot of problems from the world and so on, but it does not affect them because they have the right knowledge. So that's why we say na tatva gyanat param nasti tasmai shri gurave namaha. I bow down to that guru who gives me the essence of tatva, the essence of my life, the essence of the teaching. And without knowing the essence, param nasti, you cannot reach the highest. So that's why I bow down to the guru, I bow down to the upa, and I prostrate to the knowledge. That's why namaste, namaste, shruti gyanagamya. What is shruti? Shruti is heard. So these great masters in their meditation heard these mantras of the Upanishads, and they repeated them to the students, who then passed on from teacher to student to teacher like that. And ultimately it was Ved Vyas ji who organized the Vedas into four, Rig, Sam, Yajur and Atharva Ved, and then the Vedas into three portions, mantras, brahmanas and the Upanishads. So we owe a lot of debt of gratitude to Ved Vyas ji. So Shruti Gyana Gamya, Gamya means can be approached or can be reached by Shruti Gyana, by knowledge of the Upanishads. Upanishads are the basic source of knowledge, and from that all other knowledge has come. So if, like the Bhagavad Gita also reveals us the highest knowledge, but it is a summary of the Upanishads. And Brahma Sutras and other all great texts owe their origin to the Shruti. So namaste. So I bow down to the Lord who is the Vishwamurti, and that's the first line, the world that I see. And in the second line, he's the formless. And how do I approach him? Through yoga, tapa, and through right knowledge. So we'll end here. If anybody has any questions or comments, thank you. Hari Om. My humble pranams to all of you. Thank you.